So this morning we're going to look at Psalm 29, which is continuing our summer series. We looked at Psalm 28 last week. I wonder how many of you were woken up or were still awake when we had that thunderstorm back at the beginning of July. Certainly woke me up and kept me awake. I couldn't go back to sleep at all, with the thunder getting louder and louder and the lightning flashing through the window. Now scientifically, thunder is caused by lightning. The huge energy in the lightning bolt causes the air around it to expand so quickly that a sonic boom or a sound wave is created. Now somehow Ezra slept through it all. Either he was asleep or it just stunned him into silence. Now just the mere might, the volume and the strength of the thunder had me quaking in my bed as it got closer and closer, until one bolt of lightning caused our streetlights to black out for a few seconds. Now we're having a look at Psalm 29 this morning, and Psalm 29 speaks of the power of God's voice, and it describes it as being like thunder and lightning. So let me read Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory, the God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Let me just pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the chance to study it this morning. We pray that my words may be your words, and that anything that is not of you would be taken away and forgotten. We pray that our hearts would be open to hear you this morning, to be inwardly changed and respond outwardly in our daily lives. Amen. Okay, so I've broken the psalm down into three sections. So we're going to have a look at verses 1 to 2 under Ascribe to the Lord, verses 3 to 9, the power of God's voice, and verses 10 and 11, God's sovereignty and our response. So let's look first at verses 1 to 2 and Ascribe to the Lord. You say, Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Now the word ascribed is quite an old-fashioned one. You don't usually hear it in general conversation, do you? So one way of explaining it is to say that you can replace it with attribute or to give to. So we can read verses 1 to 2 as give to the Lord or attribute to the Lord. David is telling heavenly beings here to give praise to God for his glory, for his strength, his holiness, and his name. It's a call to praise, to give God what he's due. Now, I wonder if anyone followed the Tour de France over the past few weeks or remember Usain Bolt winning the 100 metres at the London Olympics. Now, right at the end of their events, they got to take to a podium to stand on the top step and take all the praise, all the applause, as they were rewarded with the medal or the trophy that they were due. I mean, all Chris Froome did was cycle up a few hills. And a few thousand kilometres. But how much more has God done for his people? He sent his one, his only son, to take the punishment that we deserved on the cross. A task that Jesus carried out willingly. And Jesus is now seated with God in heaven, where he is and where he will be praised forever. Now that's deserving of glory. If you're here today and you love God, then have you been giving him the praise that he's due? Humanly, is it even possible to give him the praise that he's due? Now, if we truly grasp God's glory, his strength and his holiness, then we should be giving him praise with all that we have. Maybe if you're here this morning and you don't believe in Jesus, then maybe take a step back and try and ask yourself where your praise goes. Now, the first two verses here give us a prompt or a reminder that our main aim in life is to give the praise to God that he's due and that he's deserving of. So let's move on to verses 3 to 9. And we can see here that these verses focus on the power of God's voice. Most of the verses there start with the voice of the Lord. Now, speaking of voices, I wonder if anyone can tell me who these voices are.
You know, my mum and dad have always been there since I was 7 or 8, when I first started playing Sunday League football. They've been every game from then up till now.
Anybody know who that is? Martin? David Beckham, yes. Right, I wonder about this person.
They should, I mean, because I would have been suspicious myself if I were looking at myself.
Well, I suppose.
Which I don't. No, do you?
It's maybe one for the old ones, anyone? Andy? Hugh Laurie, yes. Number 3.
Casts of the same sculpture can be found in Belfast and Berlin. And it is simply called Reconciliation.
Anyone know who that is? I'm surprised if you don't. Neil?
A queen.
A queen, yes. You should know who she is.
Young me? What brings you to the present? I travelled through space and time to make Mart settle for me because she doesn't know better. Well, if we put our heads together, we could think of a plan.
Right, any of the young ones? Who's that? Go on.
Homer Simpson.
Homer Simpson, yes. Now, they were all very recognisable, weren't they? Most of us knew who those were. And they're voices that we've probably heard lots of times, and so we remember them. Now, God doesn't speak to us openly today in the way that he did 2,000 years ago. In Hebrews 1, verse 1, it says this: "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe." So God spoke to his prophets in the Old Testament, and he speaks through his Son, Jesus, in the New Testament, all of which we have written down here in the Bible, in God's Word. And the Bible reveals to us all that God wants to reveal to us about himself and his Son. And here in Psalm 29, it reveals to us the power of God and his voice. Now, I wonder if anybody can name any biblical examples when God spoke directly to his people. Burning bush to Moses, yes. Anybody, any other? Yeah.
Baptism of Jesus.
Baptism of Jesus, yes. Sorry? The
Samuel,
yep, spoke to Samuel. Transfiguration, yes. I've got some other ones as well. So we've got Adam and Eve, got creation, Abraham, Moses, Samuel, Job, Jesus, Paul when he was converted. Now, there are some pretty amazing events that happened when God spoke. The universe was brought into existence. A bush burned without burning. Saul was converted. Here in Psalm 29, David speaks of God's voice and the power that it has. It thunders. It's powerful, majestic. It breaks trees. It makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Syrian like a wild ox. Strikes with flashes of lightning, shakes the desert, twists the oaks, and strips the forest bare. So for the main part of this psalm, David has used different places to show the vastness of God's power. Lebanon's to the north of Israel, Kadesh is to the south. Syrian is a mountain, the highest in Palestine. God's power in this psalm reaches to all ends of Israel. And it shows us the power and the reach of God's voice. Now, if I shout loud, the most that I can achieve is people looking at me strangely. And there's no way that anything that my voice can do can affect an object. If I shouted at a feather, it's not going to move. But what do the people do here in the end of verse 9? In response to God's voice, they all cry, "Glory." But what does this world do today? We saw in verses 1 to 2 that They are commands for us to worship God, to give him what is due, and that our God is a God of glory, power, and might. But many people oppose this and go against it. Oprah Winfrey walked away from Orthodox Christianity because the Bible teaches that God is a jealous God. He demands that he and no one else gets our highest allegiance and affection. But to her, it didn't sound loving. Brad Pitt turned away from his faith, he says, because God says you have to say that I'm the best, and it seemed to be about ego. But those two people did not come to understand that God is deserving of praise and adulation. In fact, in rejecting the command to worship God, they demonstrated the problem of this world. If we're not glorifying God, then we are seeking our own glory or the glory of others. Now, people strive to be the best so that others can recognize them as the best. Humanly speaking, if someone does something amazing, then they deserve praise, recognition, and applause for their achievement, like Chris Froome or like Usain Bolt. Fans worship and adore their favorite bands, their sports teams, celebrities. Other people give glory to the best clothes, the best cars, the best lifestyle. So if we recognize people for doing these minor, these small things, then how much more does God deserve? He is a jealous God because he deserves all the praise and glory for saving us from the wrath, from the judgment and the punishment that we do truly deserve. So do we respond to God in the way that we ought in light of that? Do we glorify God by praising him for his creation that we are blessed to live in? Does a mighty storm point you to God? And it should, because he is in control of it. And it pointed David to God so much to write this psalm. So that's why God is perfect in his demand and his command for us to ascribe him glory. So let's look at the final two verses that we've got, where we can see God's sovereignty and what our response should be. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. God is in complete control. When there's a flood, he's in charge. When there's chaos, remember that God is in charge of it all. For those who ascribe God glory, God will give strength and peace. He's enthroned. He's embedded on his throne. There's nothing that will ever remove God from that place. And he's in the place that he's entitled and that he's supposed to be. He's in the most secure position that there could ever be. Now, these two verses give us great encouragement for when we find ourselves in difficult situations, because we know that these verses hold true regardless of our own lives. And again, these verses point us to God's glory. He deserves it because he is the king who is reigning forever. So how can we give God glory in a practical way? Now, when we talk about giving God glory or worship, we often think of sung worship. But 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this: "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." So everything we do, not just sung worship, should be out of a response to what God's done for us. And it should all be done to point people to him. Now, one of the risks is that we could leave here today thinking that it's a duty, a task or a chore and an obligation to give God glory. And it becomes something that we do under our own effort. And this could lead to us thinking if we do enough, or if we give him enough glory, we can earn God's favour. But the end of verse 11 gives us a clue about how to avoid this. As believers in Jesus, we have been given peace. Now, that peace with God means that we no longer have to earn our way back to a relationship to God, to atone, to make up for our sins. That enmity or that distance between us and God is no longer a problem. Jesus died on the cross and he dealt with our sins, solving that barrier that was in the way of our relationship with God. Jesus then rose again to prove that the penalty had been fully paid. If Jesus had stayed in the grave, then that wouldn't have proved anything. He then also sent his Holy Spirit to live in his people, to live in us. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was praying to God before he was arrested. In the prayer that he's praying to God in John 17:22, he says this: I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. We are glorified, we have glory, because we have Jesus living in us by his Holy Spirit. And Jesus wants us to be united as one, just as he and the Father are one. So as believers, we have the Holy Spirit living and working in us, helping us to carry out God's will. And by doing so, we glorify God. And as God's people, we are united together and with God for eternity. So do we live as though that's the case? I know that I don't. It's hard to remember to praise God when things are going along well, as we often forget the need for God, and we think that we can run under our own steam. Now, it's also hard to praise God in the difficult times, as we can feel like we're bad or everything's going wrong, and we can't see that God is in control of the situation. In the psalm here, God was in control of the storm. Even though a chaotic situation and something that was powerful and mighty, that humanly we can't control, God is in control. So maybe try and ask yourself one or all of these questions. Make it a habit during your day. Will what I'm doing glorify God? Maybe pray in the morning, how can the Holy Spirit living in me help me to glorify God today? Am I glorifying God right now? Am I doing this for God or am I doing it for myself? And when we fail at this or when we do things wrong, we know that we can fall on God's grace, on his mercy and on his forgiveness. Because all of our failures have been accounted for on the cross by Jesus. So when God enables us to succeed and praising him, then we can enjoy the reward of knowing that we are and we will be sharing in that glory when Jesus returns. So as we go into the week ahead, let's praise God, let's glorify him in whatever situations we find ourselves. Let's realise and pray that God will help us to realise just how much glory and praise he is due, and that in our lives we might be seeking his glory and his praise and not our own. Let me pray to finish. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who is worthy of praise and glory. You sent your Son to take the punishment that we truly deserved, and you welcomed us back into relationship with you. We thank you for the reminder today in the psalm of your might and your power, that a mighty storm is a mere glimpse of your power, and that your voice is able to shake deserts and trees. We pray that we might be reminded of your power and your majesty when we see your creation, and that we might respond in praise. We also pray that we might glorify you in the things that we do, say, and think, and that your Spirit might be working in us and through us to be able to do that. We pray that you might work in us to glorify yourself and to point others to you to be able to glorify you as well. Thank you that everything we do is because of you and in response to what you've done for us. Amen. Got one.
Just I suppose one comment. It's really good to reflect on you say God's voice. Is that something we listen to? And just I suppose an additional comment in verse 11, the Lord gives strength to his people in terms of it is a blessing that when things are hard you don't just have to rely on yourself, because God is alive. As you say, we have peace with God. God is there working with us, giving us strength. And hopefully there are times in our lives when we do look back and think, I haven't just done this myself, but God has helped. God is, as it says elsewhere, walking beside us, shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah. So it's a challenge for us to retrospectively realise God's working in our lives as well.
Yeah, not alone.
Not just looking forward. Yeah.
I was just going to make the point that as we ascribe strength to God in verse 1, so then we get strength. As we don't rely upon our own strength, but we ascribe the strength of God, that's what we ourselves are strengthening.
Yeah.
How to choose it.
Yeah. In realizing how weak we are, We are made stronger through God's grace. Yeah. Great. If you do have any other thoughts or comments or anything, yeah, please do talk about them afterwards over tea and coffee. So let's keep that conversation going.